Welcome to my new series, Bebe Lynch's Whips. This is a brand new series in which I meet six brilliant women who are not 12 years old, basically, talking to them about their lives, about being older but still hugely relevant, about being whips, women who are hot, intelligent and in their prime. Last week, we chatted with brilliant author Kate Moss, and you can hear that show on BBC Sounds and have a little listen because she was fantastic. And this week, our whip is she's a BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey legend. She's a friend of mine. She's also, this is maybe more important, she's an award-winning radio presenter, host of BBC Radio London's afternoon show, podcaster, vlogger, actor, Joanne Good. Now, before we hear from Jo and find out what Jo thinks about whips, I want to introduce a song that she was mad about. It was from Mad Men. And Jo loved this track, and it was performed in the show, I wonder if you remember it, by Don Draper's hot new sexy wife, Megan. And Don and his friends were appalled by her blatant sexuality. Jo Good, on the other hand, couldn't get enough. Gillian Hills and Zooby Zoo Bizoo.
Qu'ils sont doux. Zoubi zoubi zou. Zoubi zoubi zou. Zoubi zoubi zou. Zoubi zou. Zoubi zou. Le bruit des bisous. Dans les buissons, sous le ciel du mois à doux, les amoureux glissent à pas le loup. Comme les oiseaux, ils en rentrent. Sont doux. Ouh, ouh. Mais dites-moi, savez-vous ce que veut dire entre nous?
Zoubizou, 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 mon Dieu que c'est joli.
Ce que veut dire zoubizou?
Zoubizou,
ça veut dire je vous l'avoue. Mais oui, je n'aime que vous. Zoubizou, 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 mon Dieu que c'est. Quand tu m'embrasses doucement dans le cou, car c'est curieux, tu vois, je l'avoue, ça me fait partout. Ouh, ouh, zoubi zoubi zou, zoubi zoubi zou, zoubi zoubi zou, zoubi zou, zoubi zou, mon Dieu que c'est doux. Ouh, ouh, zoubi zoubi zou, zoubi zou, zoubi zou, tes petits.
Oh. Hey, Jo Good.
BB.
Can I just say something about your entrance?
Is that a euphemism?
Eventually.
You know me well.
Too well.
You're not that familiar with my entrance.
Tell me where we are.
So, we are in Brighton Natural Health Centre, which is in the North Lanes of Brighton. And this, when I lived here, this... Bebe's just going to go, oh, God, if you carry on in this indulgent manner, we're going to keep it short.
Shall we have a code?
Yeah.
Shall I pretend to faint?
You fall off your stilettos and then I will, I'll shut up.
Okay.
When I lived here, this seriously was my church. I would come here to worship at the feet of these extraordinary pioneering yogis, some of whom we met on the way in.
I know, and it was like, you hadn't seen them for a while.
I hadn't. Oh. I've been to India with all those women.
Really? Mm.
And I'm also wearing a sort of Indian fabric.
Well, I mean, there's no way that...
The
you said this wasn't produced.
A sort of strange whiff of patchouli and...
I love that.
Yeah, this
Patchouli
is like
Birchall.
Patchouli. Have you met Judy
Birchall?
I haven't
met her.
How have you not met her?
Ken, I keep thinking I'm banned.
I think she'd be very competitive, I think. I think you're stamping all over her patch.
Perfect.
No, you are.
No, she was, I mean, talking whips, she was a hero of mine when I was growing up because she didn't care what she wrote.
No.
I mean, she wrote brilliantly.
Yes. Hello, Bebe. Anyone follow Bebe on social media?
I'm a changed woman.
I blush when I read what you put.
Do you?
I'm still in bed. I've just woken up.
Why?
And I think,
what obsession?
There is a kindness between women, do you know what I mean? When we all feel for each other. And I'm not saying the sisterhood or anything, but for my close friends, I worry when I think, God, they're going to get themselves into trouble. And I worry for you, as I do her. She's gone very quiet, but I used to always think, do you remember her last column in The Guardian when she went, look, you middle-class, muesli-munching idiots, I've had enough.
I mean, there's something entertaining about a breakdown in print, but,
exactly.
but we must hold back. We must hold back.
She would never sue us, though. No. She'd never. She'd celebrate us saying anything about her.
This is your spiritual home.
Yes.
And you chose this because you... So when you came to Brighton, because you told me before this place saved you. How did that do that?
When I came to Brighton when I was at a really low ebb. I was extremely anorexic. I have told you about this before. Didn't think I was anorexic, but I was. I could hardly... That hill that you walk down to get here, I could hardly walk back up it, to be quite honest. I was so emaciated. So, you know, I was obviously depressed, but never thought I was. Came down here because a very well-known actor called Peter Cleal, who was in... The Fen Street Gang. Now, you and your producer are far too young. You've
gossed,
but
no, I know who they are.
Your parents would have watched them.
I watched it.
He played Duffy. He lives in the house just over there.
He was the blonde.
Yeah, and he listens to you. He listens to you. So, Cleal, give us a thumbs up or whatever. But he lived down here, and I used to come down here and visit him and his girlfriend, and there happened to be a flat. Empty, two doors down from him at Seven Dials. So I moved into it and never moved out. Stayed here 18 years.
I remember you saying to me when I was going to move down here that Brighton will kind of just embrace you.
It cuddles you.
Yeah.
And just coming down here this afternoon, and I came down through the North Lanes and I just thought, this is... I love it. You know, it's the summer, it's Brighton, everyone's out having a good time, and... There is no equivalent to this in Brighton, where I now live. This is the Brighton vibe on a Saturday afternoon. And no one judges you. No one's got any money. You notice no one has any money, but everyone lives in nice places with high ceilings. And, so I came here and wandered in here because Infinity Foods, who owns Brighton Natural Health Centre, was the first cooperative of its kind. So... You know, it was the first vegetarian cooperative, I think, in the whole South. Mm. And they sold spinach scones. And I just thought, where they sell a spinach scone, I'm laying my hat.
And then calling it home.
And calling it home. So that was it.
Talking of wherever I lay my hat, that's my home, my postman really looks like Paul Young.
As Paul Young now, or young... Not that I don't mean he's aged, that wasn't a bitchy comment.
As Paul Young... really good question. As Paul Young in 10 years' time from now. Paul Young from now.
But quite sort of baby-faced.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
I love him.
I saw a poster saying he was playing in Hurst Pier Point.
Shall we?
Let's.
His backing band with the Wealthy Tarts. Shall we?
We are. Not.
We're not wealthy. One out of two ain't bad. Another reason that you said you love this place is because brilliant. We're talking about Whips, Louise Renison. Louise was a Whip. So Whips, I know you know this, but it's women who are hot, intelligent in their prime. Louise used to write here, didn't she?
So Louise Renison, very famous as the first teenage, you know, teenage literature, teenage fiction. There was, what do they call it, young adult,
yeah,
YA. She invented it. She was the forerunner to YA. And she wrote Angus Thongs and Full Frontal Snogging that became a best-selling movie. In the room above us here. She wrote it here. And she and I were best mates by this stage, and there was a Pilates machine up there, which there still is. The girl that let us in said it's still up there. And this Pilates machine would involve this man called Laurie, who still is up there, sitting on it, and you sit between his legs, and he would go, let me lead you. And we'd be in our black footless tights, and he would do a Spira Gyra type circle as he was thrusting himself, which he had to do.
Are you sure he had to do?
Apparently he did have to do.
Okay.
And so we would take it in turns, and when she wasn't on the device, she would write with her headphones on and watch me on it and just laugh. But she mentions this place, I think, in all her books. She credits Brighton Natural Health Centre. And you know there's a link here, because one of the women that I so admire is Sam Taylor Wood.
Yeah.
And her very young Erin.
Yeah.
Erin Taylor.
Yeah.
Taylor Williams.
Johnson.
Tom Johnson. So he wouldn't have become famous if it wasn't for Louise Renison, because he played the male lead in Angus Thongs.
Yes.
And which was all filmed down here. He played the male lead. She was part of the casting process, Louise. So she had a big say in him getting the role, and it launched him.
Yeah.
And Sam Taylor Wood, clever girl, said, "That's the one for me."
How was Sam Taylor Wood an influence for you then? Was she an influential whip to you?
I think very much so. I came out of my flat in Marylebone and saw the two of them with their dog having coffee in the coffee shop. And as I walked past, I don't know her, I don't know him from Adam. You know how women, you can exchange a look where you both of you know, yeah, I know what you're thinking. And she looked at me because I just thought, cat and cream. But there he is. And they were just chatting and there was such compatibility. And the whole thing about an older woman with a younger man gets respect from both men and women, because in reverse, you often think, you know, older man with young girl, you just think the whole thing is based on sex.
Mm.
But older woman with young man, you think it's based on sex plus really good conversation,
yeah,
plus a great life,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
Do you not think?
I totally agree. The feature that Whips came from was for a cellar piece, and they were two people that I cited in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I cited her as the kind of, you know, the chief whip,
yeah,
if you will, because it was just so extraordinary. And he just says such lovely things about her, and that he just never saw it as an age thing. He saw it as he's an old soul and she's a young soul, and he's like, she is hot.
Yeah.
You know, he was loving all about that. And then,
yeah,
and then, I mean, I must mention it, of course. He posted an Instagram shot for her 50th birthday, and he'd had a tattoo of like her name on his chest, and it's a chest you're going to...
How dedicated that is. I mean, I think, yeah. And as I say, I saw them talking. So, because you often think, is this, you know, left alone, how deep does that relationship go? But you could see that they were really enjoying each other's company, and they must have been together. That must be like, just, what, 18 months ago?
They'd been together for years, yeah, and years and years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any other whips who have influenced you?
You will laugh. So, again, this is a generation thing, but do you remember Nanny and the Professor and Juliet Mills? So Juliet Mills, I loved her because she wore that apron and stilettos, and all the men of my generation fancied the hell out of her. But she's my age, possibly older now. And then she married Maxwell Caulfield from,
yes,
Dynasty.
Yes.
And they came on my show. The two of them came on my show because they were doing a Noel Coward or something at Richmond Theatre. And again, it's so, you know, you've interviewed a lot of people, and a lot of couples have what I call the look, which is, you know, when one speaks, or God almighty, I've heard this anecdote so many times. You know, they have this look. They didn't have, all they had was a look of total respect for each other. When one spoke, the other listened.
No,
but truly, and she had skinny jeans on, tucked into a cowboy boot, and a little leather jacket. She'd had no apparent work done to her face. Was just...
That's the book title, No Apparent Work.
Well, I had the lights low, but I think there was no apparent work. And he, every time she spoke, he just looked at her in glorious adoration, and vice versa. Now, they live in Hollywood. You would have thought the temptations around them constantly.
Yeah.
But they just enjoyed each other's company so much.
Yeah.
So, yes, a little bit older. And then, I'll tell you, there's another who you've met who lives in this city. She'll kill me for mentioning her. But Susan Stranks, who was... So you had Blue Peter, you had Magpie. She presented Magpie without a bra. So all the boys would say, we've got to watch Magpie. And Magpie was often forbidden because she was so racy. She lives down here. She still cycles around in white slacks. She's still...
She's baby, incredible.
If you say Susan Stranks, men just start... They just go to jelly at whatever age. And you just think, how's she done that? She will always be valid.
Yeah. Yeah. that's what this is about to me. It's about being visible.
And valid.
And valid and relevant. And it's not just about relationships. I think the whips thing is an attitude, so I don't think it's just, and I don't, you know, it's not about, you know, the piece was about, you know, younger men and older women, but I think it's more of an attitude of whatever age I am, that's the age I am, and that does not determine what I do and what I can't do. I feel more ambitious now than I've ever felt, and you seem to me that you're storming it.
Because I think, particularly with you and I, is we've always been very, we don't have a filter, so we do write, talk an awful lot about what's happened in our lives. I think it's because we don't have partners. Do you know what I mean? So we're just
someone's got to listen.
Truly, I think that's the case. You know, I can't go home. There's no one else going to listen to this but the dog.
You'll
write about it. And I just, you know, talk about it. And now you talk. I mean, I honestly do feel that. But, yeah. But it's like all those chapters of, you know, often misery. Like I say, when I came down here, I was at a really low ebb. But my God, have I got some anecdotes out of it. My marriage, you know, I've had so... I invited my ex-husband onto my radio show. He's married five other people since me. And listeners were cancelling their dental appointments, their hairdressers, everything to say, well, I've got to listen to this. And I thought, God, so much time's gone past. So much has happened to me. I have the confidence now to say, bring him in.
Yeah.
Literally, I said, bring him in.
Yeah.
And I'm just sat there, omnipotent. And he was, I had the lights backlit. I was backlit, so I looked eight in my mind.
And did you have his mic down?
I had his mic down.
Say what you want.
I had his mic on one, so he was a whisper. And I was like Peggy Mount with the mic, with the lights behind me. No, but I had the confidence to just sit and interrogate my ex-husband, which it had taken like 30 years for me to exorcise him.
That's, again, the glory of age, the glory of age, the glory of age. That story, you made me laugh so much once, and please say this is true, even if it's not, please say it's true, that you said that the reason you love radio so much is it's the immediacy, and you were slating this ex, and he rang in?
Yes. Yes, and someone had heard, and the whole thing about that, again, but I go back to the local radio of, it didn't even have to be local, that's the organic nature of radio, basically, isn't it? That I, to this day, I don't know if he was listening or whether somebody had told him, do you realise she's really slagging you off? Right. Online, on digital, on FM. And he called up, and with this really bad Australian accent, he does sound like an Australian queen. Which is really odd when he's an English public school boy.
I've had a royal family there. Do you have any radio whips? Did any females influence you radio wise?
You're going to find this very strange that I actually. You will find this really strange, but I've sat near her quite a lot recently at various functions, and you're just going to. But. Janet Street Porter, to me, is what I would be if I was half an inch braver than I already am. I'm quite brave, you know what I mean? But she is so brave and so indiscreet, but can back it up with total intelligence that you forgive her for anything. And I think that's hugely attractive. And she will just walk in wearing a PVC miniskirt that she wore when she wrote for Petticoat or something like that. She's on Liz Women, obviously. And
she
you
changed
and I,
the look of TV, though.
Yeah, totally. She did. Do you remember, was it TV Live where they had the topless weather girls? See, I auditioned for that. I can say that to you. No, but there was no Me Too. Hashtag Me Too. Hashtag what?
Hashtag give us a go. Give us a go, Gov. Was that before or
hashtag
after
give
your...
give me too.
Yeah. Was that before or after your Loose Women or QVC auditions?
Do you remember all those...
Listen, we all know you went through so much pain. Why didn't they take you? Listen.
I think it was, they didn't take, you know why they didn't take me. They didn't take me because they said, we're doing an item on mistresses. Do you remember?
Yes.
And then I was sitting next to, I don't know who it was, some girl who really had a chip on her shoulder. And I, well, she must have been a Nolan. Was she in, what, there's always a Nolan on
there. Always a Nolan.
And I said, at the end, they got to me. And I was on a cushion because I'm so short. I was like this little ventriloquist doll behind the table. And I said, well, I am a mistress. And I thought, this is going to clinch it because, you know, they can't better that. And she went absolutely crazy. How do you sleep at night? Do you realise what you're doing to the wife, the kids and everything else? And she just went off on one. And I think that was, that blotted my copybook.
Now, you'd be loose swimming, loose woman. You'd get your own series on the back of that. If you said
I wonder.
That
things
now.
Have changed, haven't they?
Things have really changed.
Did you audition for it?
No. But we, no, I auditioned for, I did a pilot for a show that that was, that Loose Women got. So Loose Women did a pilot and
right,
I did a pilot
right.
And Loose Women's show got it. That, so that's where my bitterness lies. They never,
oh, really?
They've actually seen me.
When I auditioned, Diane Abbott was auditioning.
Really? What? Did she have a little G&T?
She had an entourage with her. Keep this in, because it's all true. She was literally auditioning the same time as me to be a loose woman.
At what point in her career? Was she an MP?
No, she can't have been.
So was that 10 years?
No, she must have been because I knew who she was.
Wow, you got any musical whips? Any anyone?
Yes.
Who?
Oh my God! So Dana Gillespie. Have you heard of Dana Gillespie? Will you play a track?
Yes.
Of Dana Gillespie. Dana Gillespie is. She was introduced to me by Julian Clary. Actually,
he said to me, "Oh my God, do you know Julian Clary?"
She's winding me up. I have to get him into every conversation, my only celebrity friend apart from B.B. Lynch. But he said to me when... no, he didn't. When he was on Desert Island Discs, he said, can I have a Dana Gillespie track? And I loved it. And I said to him later, I really want a Dana Gillespie. And he went, it's Dana as in Spanner. And he went, you need her on the show. So she came in and... Oh, my God, she is like the sexiest soul singer, blues singer, jazz singer that you will... She just is sex with red hair. She was David Bowie's girlfriend at school. He
Whoa.
Carried her books. She, and this has been in every tabloid, every paper, so you can't edit this out. This is absolutely true. She and he were intimate at 15. And that's been in all the papers.
Okay.
And it's a standing joke, because every time she comes to my show, she mentions it, and they do this whole thing where they go, oh, we've booked Dana. Can you ask her not to mention the David Bowie thing? And I go, it's out there. It's literally... so anyway, let's say he carried her books from school. She was his muse. She was the very first Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Really?
The very first. She sang like an angel before... the booze and the fags and everything else had kicked in. Now she sings the best rhythm and blues you will ever hear. And she was in Bad Timing with, that was Nicholas Rogue film, in bed with Art Garfunkel, the only acting role he ever had in a film. She was in bed with him. And Teresa Russell, Nicholas Rogue's wife, was in the same scene. She makes you just feel so very... dull and beige. She's amazing.
Vanilla.
Amazing.
Is there a specific track or any?
Oh, yes. Snatch and Grab. You know, it's a brilliant blues number, Snatch and Grab. It's fantastic. Any of her stuff. And she's on always at Ronnie Scott's. And she, and I will tell you, when you see her, there is just this sort of cluster of men around her of every age group.
Still got it.
Never
without had it.
She's never with. It's effortless. It's in every bit of her body, voice, soul. She's amazing. Dana Gillespie.
You're listening to Whips on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey. And this week we're talking to Jo Good. Let's go back to the conversation where I am so rude and I ask about her age.
Am I allowed to say your age? You kind of say
yes,
that.
God.
So 64.
74.
Yeah. 85, Jo.
So 85 and you're not
how
looking...
is it? 64.
Yes.
How's 64 for you?
So, you know, you work for the BBC. I lied, as an actress, I lied about my age and my height. constantly in the directory for actresses spotlight, which is, you know, where you have to be if you expect to work. I would lie about my age because I was always considered an ingenue because I was very short and very pretty, and I lied about my height because, you know, somebody said in France at 5 foot you're considered disabled. Did you know that?
At least if you say it with a French accent, it might seem less offensive.
Disabled.
There you go.
No, but truly, that I met someone at 5 foot and she said, I've just been in Paris, and they gave me a disabled badge. It's awful, isn't it?
I love free things, that would be all right.
So I thought, well, I don't want to be 5 foot, so I'm going to be 5'2". But now, because I work for the BBC, and this is how I love life now, I'm a box tick. So every show, I go, oh, I'm 64, and I think, so you can't sack me. And I'm safe. I'm old. So I really am. You know, I've lived my life thinking they're going to replace me with Gabby Roslin, which they actually did, so that came back to bite me. But do you know, I'm always scared someone younger and blonder is going to get my chair. And now I think, no, because I'm 64. If you sack me, I'm going to take you to a tribunal.
There is that, which is lovely and empowering for everyone, of course. But you can't think that someone younger and blonde is going to come and replace you because you do what you do because you're older.
Yeah. And I think that's actually, I now feel really comfortable about that because I just think they can't. Unless they change the nature of the show, unless they think, right, you know, someone, mind you, they made me play Stormzy. I had Tobacco Note Stormzy last week. And that was Stormzy. And then I just went, oh, for God's sake, why? What? I mean, but if they want to do that, then fine. But, you know, I'm playing Dana Gillespie and stuff like that. And I feel quite safe because, yeah, I have this archive of life that I can draw upon. And also,
you'll have a story for everything.
Literally everything. And also, I don't get scared anymore. I mean, the whole thing about, you know what it's like on radio, that when there's breaking news, they say, no more music now, we just do news. I used to freak out thinking, I'm not a journalist, how on earth am I going to sit here? And now I just think, look, just say what comes into your head. I know how not to do a news item. I know basically how to do it. I'm no longer fearful because I've just done it for so many years. And that's, it's a lovely feeling of, like, you know,
it's quite liberating, isn't it?
It's totally liberating. Even if the equipment goes wrong, I don't care anymore because I'm 64.
I love this. And you're getting braver and you're delving into what we would traditionally, even though they haven't been around forever, so can you even call them traditional, young people games. So podcasting, you're a vlogger, Joe Good.
Can I now tell you something that's going to appall your producer?
And I wish you would.
And you, but... And also, a lot of people listening won't even know who I'm talking about. So it's really interesting, this, because it's a barometer, which is YouTube, because I am a massive YouTube fan. So Zoella and Alfie Days live in this town. And I parked this afternoon really near their offices. I'm not going to say where it is.
Deliberately?
Yes, because I follow them. They daily vlog, and I follow them. And I go, because I know every inch of Brighton, I thought, I know exactly where that office is. I'm going to hang around and see if I... Because I want them on my show, and I can't get them. Because they don't need me. They do not need me. And this is what fascinates me, Bibi, is these... You and I, you know, we've earned every badge of honour that we have because we're not lucky people. Nothing's landed in your lap or mine. It's only through hard work you've got where you are. And, you know, if I've got anywhere to where I am. They just started filming themselves in their bedrooms when YouTube didn't even know what it was. They didn't know what it was. And they have, between them, 8 million subscribers.
That's extraordinary.
It's the population of London. I mean, it's like, it's ludicrous. And they don't need me saying, would you like to come on my show or anything. And I also, I'm very, very voyeuristic, so I love watching people's lives playing out. And I think, I've self-analysed myself on this, I think because I don't have a family and I live on my own, these are all my surrogate family. I just watch these families' lives playing out. I think, oh, what have they got in their shopping bag today? Literally.
That's so
It's the mundanity of life I'm just watching on YouTube.
Do you think that the not having family stuff, because I'm on Twitter all the time and I use it
You're the Twitter queen.
I am the Twitter queen. I think of myself as the people's princess of Twitter. Anyway.
I think a lot of people think you are.
But my point is, I use it a lot. Just I see it as an outlet, and it's fun, and it's great for work. But it also is interaction. Mm. I remember you sent me your first ever tweet. You sent to me. Do you remember? It was blank.
Because
it had nothing in it. It was the deepest thing you've ever said.
I know exactly. But I'm a bit like my head.
But this is why I think you're into the YouTube thing. Because you're sharing your life. And do you interact with people that are coming back to you about what's going on?
Yeah, you have to now. Because
But you like doing that?
Yes, because I'm quite safe. I'm quite, I love it. And people do. Cab drivers in London, this doesn't frighten me. They just, how often can I afford a cab? If I do, they just drive me to my door because they know where I live. Because the cab drivers listen to the show. They just plonk me down. I don't find that frightening. They're not going to come in and stab me in my sleep, are they? And it's because they watch my channel. And I just find that rather amusing, to be quite honest. And I, with Zoella and Alfie, I know almost every single thing about their home, their saucepans, where they live, what plants they've grown, everything. And it is very voyeuristic, but it is surrounding myself in this surrogate family. And yes, I suppose I'm doing the same with my own channel. What really frustrates me about it, though, Bibi, is it's a young person's platform. And my demographic, with YouTube, you're given your analytics every time you post. And my demographic is women between the ages of 40 and 75, which is extraordinary. Because would you know how to subscribe to YouTube?
Oh, I subscribe to you.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Because lots of people don't. They don't know how to.
Yeah.
But it's like everything else. If you can get a female audience, women are really loyal to other women. Really loyal. So they'll stay with you. Even if they don't like you, they'll either turn you down or turn away. They won't turn you off.
But this is also... Oh, that was good. That's not the first time you've said that.
Actually, it is. I think we should write
that
down.
Clip it, as you would say.
Yes, clip it. Clip it. That'll make a trail.
Do you? And so your vlog, we should say, is Middle-Aged Minx. It's so brilliant. I feel like I don't miss you because I see you on it.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I love it.
You're in it.
I'm in it a lot.
This will be in it.
Thank you. Your podcast, what are the stats on that? So that's Dogs in the City. So
right.
Podcast is, again, another world that we might think is a younger person's world.
Yes,
that you're doing great in it. Was it one of the first BBC Sounds
Yes,
podcasts?
And Miranda... She's
Sawyer.
Thank you. That's why you're a journalist and I'm not. Miranda Sawyer picked it as Pick of the Week in The Independent, actually, which was... And I don't even think she has a dog. That was nice. But we're being encouraged to always bring in a younger contributor. I do a lot of vloggers and load, and I'm, you know, if I can get vloggers on,
yeah.
Oh my God, the hits go sky high. They just do. And I'm just so intrigued by the science of online platforms. I just think it's amazing how they'll collaborate. But YouTubers, like, so to go back to Zoella and Alfie, it is not in their interest to collaborate with me at all.
But that's where they're losing out, and that's why youth is silly sometimes, because actually you don't do things for the interest. You do things because it's interesting. You do something for the interest of meeting that person and what you'll get out of that, not figures.
And do you know, you're so right, Bibi, and the thing that... this has almost come full circle. So Ella, she was vlogging one day in front of her bookcase that was full of Louise Renison's book.
The whole
bookcase. And I kept thinking, if I could just get to her and say, you know, look, Lou was my mate, she'd be thrilled to know... Actually, Louise wouldn't be that thrilled to know that Zoella was... I think she'd come out in hives.
Now, Lou would have written a book about YouTube.
Yeah.
Wouldn't she?
She really would have done.
Her Withering Tights?
Yes.
Oh, man. Lou very sweetly gave me a copy for Ellie and Lois, my nieces, two of my nieces, and wrote a little inscription at the beginning, in character. And they, honestly, their little faces when they read it, it was absolutely brilliant.
That makes me really emotional. And knowing, being in this building,
because
they've left us a lot, this is so Brighton.
Yeah.
They've just said, lock up on your way out. I mean, isn't that, and she'd written all that up there.
Do you see getting older as, or do you see age as a barrier or a gift?
I do think it's a gift. I do, and I just wish we could start to see it like that. It's so valuable to, because my mum's 94. You know this, and she's also clickbait on my YouTube channel. If I put my mum in it, I get more views than anything else. But she doesn't really know what I'm doing. She keeps saying, "Are you photographing me?" And I go, "Yep." But I look after her at the weekends, and I can see her wisdom. And she was never an intellectual person, but she was quite wise. And I see her, sorry, this is a bit morbid, preparing for her own death. And it's like, it's extraordinary, because I keep thinking, I never don't want to be at this party. I love this party. How can you say I'm about to leave it? How could you do that? But I guess at 94, you just are exhausted and you're ready to. I'm just not ready. I'm still in the kitchen. Do you know what I mean? Having a great time.
You're making the vol-au-vents.
Yes, I am making the
You're
vol-au-vents.
Making the deviled eggs.
And I just think, how can you leave the party? Because it's like, for all the rubbish that it does chuck at you, the good times are bloody brilliant, aren't they?
And that's another thing about being whips, in that we're older for long, we live for longer, please God, and so we're going to be relevant for longer, so we need to make that extra time count. I'm not going to stop at 45, if I ever reach 45, yeah, and then just, think, stay until, and that's the beginning of the end, it's rolling down. No.
No, exactly. And if you think about, I just flattered you about your skin, because you look, in this light, which is a side light, the evening in Brighton, your skin looks amazing. And I said, is it Brighton Air or something? You went, no, it's a product called New Face, which I'm going to go and get actually tomorrow damn quickly. But it's like, look what we've got. Look at the help we've got. Look at what look at what you can actually use to help yourself. And I don't mean cosmetic surgery, although I would definitely have it if I could afford it. And I certainly don't judge anyone if they have it. But there's so much that we can do to help ourselves.
Yeah. Do you think things are changing? Do you think attitude toward older women are changing? Honestly.
Yes. I'll tell you why. Because I'm in the privileged position, as you are, of working with very young people. And they treat me as one of them. Now, when I was that age, working with a woman of 64, I would have thought, please, God, don't let me sit down her end of the table,
So key.
Isn't it?
Yes,
it's like, and you just think, God, they've all been taught by these amazing parents who are our age. Look, these women have a value, and they don't even think about it. They don't think about it. We're just part of the whole party.
Yeah.
And that's taken generations to get to this, and we're benefiting from it.
I love that.
Oh my God, my friends' kids just come and talk to me about everything, literally everything, and I just think, I wouldn't have talked to a 64-year-old woman about that.
And it benefits both.
Of course it does.
Yeah,
because you just think, God, I'm not invisible.
Yeah,
I actually have, an opinion that they're probably going to listen to.
Yeah, because it's brilliant.
I know.
You were an extraordinary actor before you got into radio, Joe Good. And all the way from Australia. I wish I could remember that theme. I'm telling you, your CV, like, you don't know it. Eat the Rich, Only Fools and Horses. What? But most famously, Carol Sands in Crossroads.
God.
Can you please remind me of the story of how you were written out of Crossroads?
About the fish fingers. Oh, my God. So it was, I had to go and get a spanner and fish fingers, and then I never appeared again. I went, Stan, I'll get the spanner, and Glenda, I'll get some fish fingers. And then I left, and that was the very last scene, never to be seen again. And they gave us weekly contracts. So I literally, you had four episodes, the blue episode was the last one, and I went, hang on a moment, I'm going out for a spanner and some fish fingers. And no one made eye contact with me. And I just realised, that was it. Dong, 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 dong. Carol had left.
That is so terrible.
Isn't it all ruthless? Ruthless.
That is ruthless. And also, where would you realistically get spanners and fish fingers from in the same
place? Motel, somewhere in King's... What was it? King's Lynn? Where was it? We were... I don't know.
Do you think it's easier to be... I mean, there must be... I'm saying, I'm assuming this, I don't know, but I would have thought ageism is worse in acting than in radio.
Oh, God, if so anyone says kind of any more about Helen Mirren, I just think, oh, please, God, you know, is that all there is? Because that's all we were showing. You know, look at Helen Mirren and Judi Dench. And I mean, yeah, two people. I think it's still pretty bad, to be honest. I think, I don't know, if you, the Americans have got... Look at you on Netflix.
Yeah.
Just have a look at their amazing series, like the Jane Fonda, you know, Gracie and...
Oh,
what's,
I love it. Frankie and Gracie.
Frankie and Gracie. All of that and Golden Girls. They were always ahead of it. And I think
that's
we've... True. Oh, no, it's so true. So true. And I think we've got a lot of catching up to do, truly.
Are there any future whips? Who's around now that you're just like, yeah, they're potentially going to be...
I tell you, so no one will know who I mean. I interviewed this girl. She's called Louise Pentland, and she's a YouTuber. She is so clever. Check her out, because she's still in her mid-30s. She started with Zoella. They were best mates. And then she said to her 8 million subscribers, I am now a mother of two, a divorced woman, and about to start a new relationship. So I'm no longer this child putting on makeup in my bedroom. So you can either come with me on this or stay and enjoy the people who are doing what you bought into. So she said to me, she lost nearly all her subscribers. Oh. And then built this. So she did it. But she's, see, I'm that much older, I can't do it. She did it because she was 32 going on 35. She's someone to watch. She truly is someone to watch.
Why can't you do it now?
Because I'm 64, because people don't technically know how to subscribe to YouTube of my age. They see it as the enemy. They go, oh, I don't want to bother with all that. They still love their terrestrial or whatever. But she is original YouTuber, original 2009 YouTuber.
Who's moved along.
And will be a fantastic whip. Yeah. She will for her generation.
This is the final question. Thank you so much for joining us today. I love seeing you. And thank you for my flowers.
I bought you sunny sunflowers.
I know, because
well.
Is that my tattoo?
Have you got a tattoo?
Do we know each other?
You haven't got a tattoo.
Yes, I have. Of a sun.
Richard, your producer, seen it?
No, he hasn't.
I don't know how. I mean, he's in shorts and you're in a wraparound dress. I don't know. I don't know what your relationship is.
Have gone terribly wrong. I thought you bought that because you'd seen my tattoo.
No, seriously. I bought that because they just make me happy.
Oh,
when did you have that done?
I had the story. The tattoos. I know this is your hour. My then boyfriend. We were going to get each other's names.
Is that
tattooed.
The boyfriend I introduced you to? We must tell everyone. I used to introduce
to psychotic,
to sociopaths.
Sociopaths. Why did you do that?
I always used to text you the next morning, and if there was silence, I used to think, oh gosh, I hope that's gone all right. And it never did.
Anyway, me and my ex, no, so you didn't introduce, so we're going to have each other's names tattooed, and then we had a row. So he had his own name, his own initials tattooed on his leg, and I had a sunflower.
His own initials.
Yeah, I know, it was hilarious. Isn't it? Then a teacher. Final question. Can you please say something nice about Horsham?
Never. God. Okay. God, I'm going to need some... Turn this off whilst I think... Oh, I know. In the summer, for the children, they will often put a bouncy castle in the park. There you are. That's Horsham kids having a good summer.
Thanks, Jo. You're full of joy. Where is it in terms of... So there's...
It's Brighton over Devil's Hole. I'm going to... Listen, BB, please come and meet my mum one Sunday. I'll collect you because you can't get a bus. Over Devil's Dyke through Henfield, past the farm shop, and come and meet my mum.
So someone said something the other day about Fanny's.
Oh, my God, Fanny's... No, Fanny, I used to take... they tell you when she used to come on a Saturday morning on the Saturday Breakfast Show, and she'd always bring stuff in from the farm shop, and she'd bring... pumpkins, she'd grow pumpkins, she was like a pumpkin, and she'd grow them, and she'd come in, she'd park her little van outside the studio, and she'd come in and she'd go, "Hello, darling, I brought some pumpkins and we can make lanterns." And I said, just literally on the bed leading up to the news, I went, "Well, there we go, and let's hope that your pumpkins will look like Fanny's." And then it went into the news, and they kept it. Every Christmas they would play this as a Christmas tape.
Oh,
dear God, old Fanny.
So brilliant.
So we're just back from the...
I'm breathless.
Breathless because of being so excited, having just spoken to Jo Good.
She's like a whirlwind. I'm exhausted. She was absolutely brilliant. I know, it's really odd interviewing someone you know. And I know her really well. And I thought I knew her take on a lot of this whip stuff about being older. Jo, I hope, won't mind me saying that I think now she's in her 60s. She's kind of found herself. I think when she was a bit younger, she was kind of struggling with getting older, I think, as everyone does. But, you know, I don't know, people say things so you don't know necessarily how they really feel about it. But she would say things, "Oh, you know, we're invisible, we're this, we're this." And that was years ago, and now she's so not. And we have a mutual friend, actually, Jo and I, and I should have said this to her, who saw her recently at the Chelsea Flower Show and sent me a text saying, "Jo Good is looking so sexy." And I thought, this is so brilliant. And it's like she just exudes optimism and excitement and interest, and that's never going to fade. And she's doing things, the vlog is brilliant, and the podcast is brilliant, and she's kind of like dipping her toe, plural, into all these young people's worlds and storming it. And I think she's just inspiring.
So, not putting numbers on it, but Jo's a bit older than you.
Yeah.
Is that how?
Why are you stuttering?
How does that? Are you inspired by her personally, and yeah, do you kind of aspire to be like Jo when you get to Jo's age?
It totally inspires me personally. I want to be me at that age. Do you know what I mean? Jo's Jo at that age. I couldn't be Jo, but I just, you know, she's starting out and how excited she is and thrilled by her vlogging. We will be on her most recent vlog, unfortunately. I
was slightly terrified when she turned up with the camera going, the poor manager of the Brighton Natural Health Centre.
What was I saying? I don't know. She's amazing. Yeah, her energy nonstop inspires me. It always has, the whole time I've known her. But I also loved, because she has always joked about, "Oh, you know, well, they'll get rid of me, they'll replace me with a younger model." And she doesn't say that now because she doesn't mean it now, she doesn't believe it now. And I think that's really inspiring for any age. But yeah, I'm about 10 years younger, and I think it's just incredible. What did you think?
It's the first time I met her, and she was exactly how she is in her videos and how she is on the radio, and yeah, just very frighteningly open and honest. And her poor exes
they deserve it. I think Jo thinks that anything's kind of okay entertainment wise I think she does everything. I don't think she does anything cruelly. I think not in cruelly,
whereas you
whereas I no I just think she's super honest, and she can be very discreet, actually. She knows lots of stuff about me and our mutual friends. So she's very... I just think there's a show side, and that side, I think, is incredible. Do you prefer her to me now?
No.
There was a bit of a pause there, wasn't there?
Well, just to be polite. She's going to hear this, so there's... needs to be polite.
I need to lie down, but I think she's incredible.
Right, go have you lie down.